Luxembourg? Yes. Luxembourg? That's right. Catherine didn't know how to react to this, so she decided on the default response, deflection via ignorance. Where is Luxembourg? Even as she was asking this disingenuous question, she regretted the decision. It's in Western Europe. I mean, is it in Germany? She turned her eyes away from Dexter, from the shame at the hole she was digging for herself. Switzerland? Dexter looked at her blankly, clearly trying, hard, to not say something wrong. It's its own country, he said. It's a grand duchy, he added, irrelevantly. A grand duchy. He nodded. You're kidding. It's the only grand duchy in the world. She didn't say anything. It's bordered by France, Belgium, and Germany, Dexter continued, unbidden. They surround it. No, shaking her head, there's no such country. You're talking about, I don't know, Alsace or Lorraine. You're talking about Alsace-Lorraine. Those places are in France. Luxembourg is a different, nation. And what makes it a grand duchy? It's ruled by a grand duke. She redirected her attention to the cutting board, the onion in mid-mince, sitting atop the counter that was threatening to separate entirely from the warped cabinetry beneath it, pulled apart by some primordial force, water or gravity or both, and thereby pushing the kitchen over the brink from acceptably shabby to unacceptably crappy, plus unhygienic and outright dangerous, finally forcing their hand on the full kitchen renovation that even after editing out every unnecessary upgrade and aesthetic indulgence would still cost $40,000 that they didn't have. As a stopgap, Dexter had secured C-clamps to the corners of the counter to prevent the slab of wood from sliding off the cabinetry. That was 2 months ago. In the meantime, these clumsily positioned clamps had caused Catherine to shatter a wine glass and, a week later, while slicing a mango, to bang her hand into a clamp, causing her knife to slip, the blade sliding silently into the meat of her left palm, bathing the mango and cutting board in blood. She'd stood at the sink, a dish rag pressed to her wound, blood dripping onto the ratty floor mat, spreading through the cotton fibers in the same pattern as that day in the Waldorf, when she should have looked away, but didn't. And what's a grand duke? She wiped the onion tears from her eye. The guy in charge of a grand duchy. You're making this up. I'm not. Dexter was wearing a very small smile, as if he might indeed be pulling her leg. But no, this smile was too small for that. This was the smile of Dexter pretending to pull a leg while being dead serious, a feint of a fake smile. Okay, she said. I'll bite. Why would we move to Luxembourg? To make a lot of money and travel around Europe all the time. And there it was, the full, unrestrained smile, just like we always dreamed. The open look of a man who harbored no secrets and didn't admit the possibility that other people did. This was what Catherine valued above all else in her husband. You're going to make a lot of money? In Luxembourg? Yes. How? They have a shortage of great-looking men, so they're going to pay me a bucket load for being incredibly handsome and staggeringly sexy. This was their joke. Had been their joke for a decade. Dexter was neither notably good-looking nor particularly sexy. He was a classic computer nerd, gangly and awkward. He was not in reality bad-looking. His features were plain, an unremarkable amalgam of sandy hair and pointy chin and apple cheeks and hazel eyes. With the aid of a decent haircut and media training and possibly psychotherapy, he could become downright handsome. But he projected earnestness and intelligence, not physicality or sexuality. This was what had originally appealed to Catherine, a man who was completely unironic, unarch, unbored, uncool, unstudied. Dexter was straightforward, readable, dependable, and nice. The men in her professional world were manipulative, vain, ruthless, and selfish. Dexter was her antidote, a steady, unself-assuming, unfailingly honest, and plain-looking man. He had long ago resigned himself to his generic looks and paucity of cool, so he emphasized his nerdiness in the standard fashion. Plastic glasses, frumpy and seemingly unchosen rumpled clothes, bedheady hair. And he joked about his looks.